one of the Christian leaders in the church, just a few years after this resurrection event, said, "For he departed, and behold, he is here." It's those words that really unite us together today. This incredible message that Jesus lives. Now, as many of you know, we've been on a road trip. We have been taking a journey through the scriptures, through the gospel narrative where Jesus lived, the people he encountered, the places he went, the things he did, and we started back in the middle of February on the first Sunday of Lent in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And we traveled with Jesus to the wilderness where he was tested and tempted. And then we left that and went on another road back to his hometown in Nazareth. And from there, we traveled with him to Jericho and Samaria and to the town of Capernaum. And last week, in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And there's one last road that we want to call your attention to. It's the one we find here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, in the road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. Now, here in this text that is before us, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, there's these two fellows, two of the disciples, that are walking with dejected hearts out of town. And they're making their way to that little village, that little town about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, known as Emmaus. You know, have you ever experienced a time when your expectations didn't turn out like you thought? You say, "Yes, I'm a Bengals fan." But really, has there ever been a time where things just didn't go as planned? Sure, we've all had those moments. You know, the restaurant you go to doesn't live up to the hype. Or the vacation spot that you've been told about just wasn't very good at all, as it turns out. Or maybe your experience in a relationship or your career doesn't go as what you planned. The white picket fence mentality just comes crashing down. For many, that describes even their church experience. They go to the church, the coffee's not hot at the coffee bar, pastor didn't shake the hand, the music wasn't that good. And what they thought Christianity was all about is not what they experienced. A little disappointed. Well, that was the experience of these two fellows here as they're walking away from what just occurred there in Jerusalem. And it's depicted here that these fellows are really down in the dumps. I mean, their bracket has been busted, right? Things just didn't turn out like they had anticipated. And the scripture indicates that they're walking along, headed to this town, this village of Emmaus, on that first Easter. And you know, some of the worst words in the human language begin with the letter D. Like depression, or doubt, or despair, or despondency, or death. And all those kinds of words were all intermingled and wrapped up into one. It kind of summed up the feeling of these two fellows and all those who love the Lord. We can kind of sympathize with their bewilderment. And they were defeated as they were walking out of town. Their heads low, talking to one another, trying to make sense of just what had happened. And it was late in the evening, and the sun was sinking, and it kind of reminded them of that sinking feeling that they had in their heart. And as they journeyed along, the stranger who had joined them suddenly began to, you know, talk to them and engage them and ask what they'd been discussing. And they said, "Are you out of your mind? Are you the only person on the planet that hadn't heard what's taken place here in the last couple of days in Jerusalem. And then it says here in the scripture, we had hoped. What a ring of tragedy in those words. Easter speaks to the lonely today. This day speaks to those who are dejected and depressed and alarmed and concerned. It's a day that really speaks to those who are traveling in this road we call life and feel lonely and feel like, why and what's next? And it's out of this great tragedy here that God brings about the greatest triumph in history. This, folks, is really the awe of Easter. The remarkable nature of the empty tomb. The extraordinary faith in which we gather here. Now, notice some things out of the gospel message that speaks to us on this day when we think about this Resurrection Sunday. One of the things that I would draw to your attention from this text is that the resurrection is so transformative for us. It takes place in our living. Resurrection changes everything. And Jesus is depicted here as a stranger, first giving his disciples this challenge of hospitality. We try our best every Sunday to roll out the red carpet and have warm, smiling faces at the front door to greet people and welcome one another in Christian love. And that was the challenge to these two disciples back in the day. And they rose to the occasion. And as they were journeying down the road and coming to the end of it, to their home, they said, well, come on in. We don't know exactly who you are, but we've enjoyed our conversation. And it's late in the evening, and come in for a meal. At least for a moment of rest. And the scripture says that Jesus took them up on that. The stranger went with them, and they sat down at the table for a meal together, and he blessed the bread and broke it, and then he gave it to them. And Luke writes, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and suddenly everything was different. Nothing was the same. There's that book at the bookstore that said that From the Upper Room to the Garden Tomb was the title. And instead of putting Christ on a pedestal and up on a throne, they put him in a tomb. And those disciples had followed Christ from up in the hills of Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem, down the streets, up to the temple, down to the garden, back up to the cross, and from the Upper Room to the Garden Tomb. And that was the end, they thought. And old Pontius Pilate and the high priest, they said goodbye to Jesus. The Roman guards and all the Roman Empire said goodbye. The Sanhedrin said goodbye. Even the disciples and those who loved the Lord said goodbye, but it was quickly met with a cheery hello. For Jesus went from that garden tomb all the way back to the upper room. For Christ went out of that place that day, from that burial plot to a risen Lord. And nothing has ever been the same since. Now, if you have difficulty believing Easter, you're not alone. Certainly, this Easter story can be challenging to all of us. But it's so incredible that we ought to have difficulty with it. I mean, it's not something that happens every day. But we know from that early eyewitness testimony that the historians, the scholars throughout time have identified. We know from all that extra biblical information and all those other details, the Dead Sea Scrolls and so many other things that firmly point to this as our hope of the resurrected Lord. And it's transformative. Now, in the 1840s, if you lived in the Fiji Islands, you could buy a person for about $7. That was the price of a musket back in the day. And you could buy a person and use them as a slave, and you could starve them. You could work them to death. You could beat them. You could torture them. You could do whatever you wanted to. You could even eat them. because cannibalism was a big thing back in the 1840s of the Fiji Islands and then that area. But just 40 years later, what happened? You couldn't buy a person for $7 million. And what took place? The message of the resurrection had reached the island. Missionaries had gone forth proclaiming the good news of Christ, and people fell under the spell of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit grabbed the hearts of people, and they knew the love of Christ and the message of resurrection, and it was so transformative. I say to you today, that is our answer. You talk about school shootings. You talk about shootings in our neighborhoods and in our businesses. They need the transformative message, the hope and the joy of the gospel in the resurrection. Not only this, this text really challenges us because it speaks about conviction. Incredible conviction which grips our thinking. It's more than something we merely believe. It's a conviction that really gets a hold of us. And after the risen Christ had revealed himself to those two followers, the Bible says he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road and when he opened up the scriptures and explained it all to us? And they knew that they had been in his presence. And their thinking was gripped by that conviction. And that's what we need today, folks. It's conviction. We live in a time where everybody's got an opinion, that's for sure. We don't need any more of that. We need real conviction. In my counseling days going to school, I remember the story that was shared about the young counselor just fresh out of college, and his best friend came over and talked to him about his marital problems. He ushered him right into the kitchen table, and they sat there, and he listened as his friend poured out his side of the story. And at the conclusion of the night, he said, you know what? You're absolutely right. And the next day, his friend's wife comes over, and she's eager to tell her side of the story. And he brings her in. They sat there at the kitchen table, and he hears her side of the story. And at the conclusion of the night, he says, you know what? Well, you're absolutely right. And after she leaves, the counselor's wife has been seated in the living room all along. And hearing everything, she comes in and she said, honey, you are about the most wishy-washy person I have ever met. And he said, you're absolutely right. You know what? Ordinary people have opinions, but great people have conviction. An opinion is something you pick up and carry around, but a conviction, that's something that picks you up and carries you around. And that's what we need more of. And that's what this resurrection message here today from Luke's Gospel 24 says to us. Not only is it transformative and so convicting, but I tell you this, it's inspirational. It'll totally change your life and rock your world. It's more than just a change. It's more than a happy thought. But it's a conviction that sets us to witnessing. One thing is for sure, the disciples of Christ were at their best, were they not, when they were walking with the Lord? That's something that we ought to be mindful of in our day, because discipleship is never just a drive-by process. It's never just a fly-by process, but it's a daily walk with God that's required. And these disciples were on that journey, and they weren't alone. You know, when we look at the empty tomb, we can reach only one conclusion, and that something indeed happened. Something remarkable, something momentous, something miraculous, and our hope is all wrapped up today in this empty tomb. Luke tells us that same hour, two followers left Emmaus and went back to Jerusalem, and they went up to the upper room, and they found the disciples, and they shared what they had experienced that day. And it was something they could not contain themselves. I mean, it was an incredible message. And you know, the early church was the result of the resurrection. The disciples were not looking for some club to be part of, some group to join. some organization to participate in. The church was a result of their witness, and it was surely inspirational. The resurrection was a story they had to tell, a conviction they had to announce, a witness they had to share. And our gathering here today, is it not, is a testament to the resurrection power. Our servanthood in Christ is a testament to the resurrection power of the gospel. The resurrection of Christ has made believers out of us, has made us Christians, and our lives are a witness to it. Now, some 2,230 miles off the coast of South America and more than 2,000 miles from any population center stands a place called Easter Island. And it lies in the middle of the Pacific, and it's said to be the most isolated place on the planet. And it was discovered by a Dutch navigator back on Easter Sunday, 1722. And nobody lived there, but the island became this important navigational aid for aircraft, as you can imagine, crossing the Pacific. It was kind of an aid out there to let folks know where they were at. And let me say, just like that, Easter Sunday is a special navigational aid for you today, for all of us, right in the middle of this thing we called life. And it's a message that can help us get out of here alive, to know Christ, the risen Lord, gives so much hope and peace to a difficult place to live. You know, as somebody has said, really what one sees in this life depends where one sets up shop. I want to tell you today where I'm going to set up my shop. It's right at the entrance of the empty tomb, and I hope you'll join me. Shall we pray?